Our second lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter. Let us listen for God's word and see if you can hear a theme in this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God, of Christ, that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. So it took until about Thursday of this week, after about four different people said, "I can't believe it's the last week of July already," for it to really sink in that not only is July almost over, but so is half the summer. Holy cow, where did the time go? I learned a long time ago in my first call as an associate pastor out in Michigan that regardless of what people may think or say, summer is rarely a slow or quiet time in the life of the church. Yes, more folks are away on vacation and there may be fewer evening meetings and events on the calendar, but summer is when all of that extra special stuff like vacation Bible school and mission trips happen. And summer is also prime time for planning and organizing for the upcoming year. In the 5 weeks since school let out at the end of June, I have traveled with youth and adults from this church to Montreat, North Carolina for a worship and music conference and to Chicago for a mission trip. During the first half of July, our church was transformed into a whitewater rafting wilderness as we hosted over 100 children and 70 youth and adult volunteers for VBS. Just yesterday, 15 youth and 3 adults drove down to Montreat for a Presbyterian youth conference and more mission work. Behind the scenes, we have converted to a new database and are learning how to more efficiently use and store the many kinds of data that we need to do our ministry and mission here. The Personnel Commission is hiring new custodial staff. The Education Commission is planning for the next year of Sunday school, adult ed, confirmation, and youth groups. The Operations Commission is dealing with tree damage. The Gardeners of Eden are doing their best to keep up with the flower beds and the weeds in this humid and stormy weather. The Food Pantry continues to distribute food to local families in need and collect school supplies for the upcoming school year. And on top of all that, after prayerful study and listening to the needs and dreams of our church community, Session approved moving ahead with a capital campaign this fall, which will allow us to expand our ministry and mission and maintain our facility as the welcoming space it already is for so many in our community. So stay tuned, because the planning is underway for that too. As you can hear, not much has slowed down around here at all. Maybe that's why when I read the lectionary readings for this Sunday, I was drawn to our passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This passage comes right in the middle of a letter that Paul wrote to one of the many young churches he had started in the Roman Empire. In fact, some scholars believe that Ephesians wasn't written to just one church, the church in Ephesus, but to a whole cluster of fledgling churches in Asia Minor. Paul had helped start many churches on his missionary journeys, often staying in a community for weeks, months, even years to teach and preach and help that church build a solid foundation. Now, several years later, Paul was in prison most likely in Rome. And although we might think you don't do much in prison, that was not true for Paul. He continued to preach and teach to anyone who would listen. Other missionaries and church members and students traveled from all over the Roman Empire to Rome to learn from Paul and to bring him news about all their churches. Paul was very concerned about what was going on in all of these fledgling faith communities. And so he sent his visitors out again with letters filled with encouragement and instruction and renewed inspiration to share the gospel message far and wide. In this letter to the Ephesians, Paul has just spent the last 2.5 chapters reminding the Ephesians and anyone else who's reading the letter of all of the amazing things that God has done, not only for them, but for all of humankind and all of creation. In revealing God's self through his Son, Jesus Christ, and offering us all a glimpse into the great mysteries of God's infinite love and grace. Through Christ, Paul writes, God has broken down all of the walls that divide us from God, one another, and the world. God has created one new humanity in Christ, which transcends race, nation, tribe, and any other barrier we might try to put up. Now in the letter, Paul is just about to make a turn towards how the Ephesians and all of us are called to live in response to God's power and goodness. But he stops. It's almost as if Paul himself is overcome by the wonder of it all, by everything he has just shared with them. And he stops mid-letter, mid-sermon. He pauses and he prays. How often do we pause in the middle of something to pray? How often do we stop doing what we are doing to become more aware of how God might be present with us in the moment? And even more, how God might want us to be responding in our present circumstances. I don't know about you all, but unless I'm in a particularly spiritual frame of mind, my answer is almost never. It is so easy to get caught up in the daily schedule and to-do lists. If I'm in the middle of something, I like to finish the job before moving on to something else. If I'm in the middle of a summer marathon of planning meetings and mission trips, camps and conferences and college visits, I just want to get to the end of it all before I take a deep breath. The catch is that there is always another load of laundry to do, another meal to prepare, another project to tackle, another meeting to attend. The problem with my approach is that it is so focused on me moving through my own schedule, my own plans, my own concerns, that my vision becomes very narrow. I can't see beyond myself, and so I lose track of other people and God. I fail to see the bigger picture and my connection to the wider world going on around me, maybe even in spite of me. I become disconnected from the love and grace, the power and the purpose that ultimately make my life worth living. The good news is that Paul's prayer is exactly what I needed this week. I think it's what we all need to reconnect, to plug back in to the divine source of love and power for our living. So listen again to what Paul prays for. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What did you hear? in Paul's prayer. What did Paul pray for? And go ahead, tell me what you heard.
Understanding.
Strength.
That we would know the love of Christ.
That we would know the love of Christ. And what about the love? What about this love? How does Paul describe it? A little irony there. Paul wants us to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. We're supposed to know something that is unknowable in our limited human perspective, but that's okay. I heard one commentator explain it this way. We know the sun rises every morning. We may not be able to describe the physical, gravitational forces and everything that's going on in the universe that make it happen, but we still know that it happens. The same is true with the love of God. You can know the love of God without understanding it all. What else? What else does Paul pray for?
Well, when you're rooted in that love, you're not understanding just what others
pray. Okay, so being rooted and grounded. Paul's prayer for everyone, including himself and all these people he's praying for, is that they would be rooted and grounded in this love that is so huge we cannot understand it. But that doesn't matter. That's where we belong. What else?
Fullness.
So that we would somehow be filled with the fullness of who God is. God being infinite, God's bigger than anything we can imagine or do. We're finite creatures, but Paul still wants us to be full of it, be full of God. Anything else? That we would be strengthened by what? By the love, by the Spirit, that the Spirit would strengthen us where?
Our inner being.
In our inner being. Yeah, yeah. This is powerful. This is a powerful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. One last thing, how does the prayer start? Who is Paul praying to? Father of whom? Every family on earth takes its name from this God that Paul is praying to. In a way, that connects us all. We all have the same heavenly parent, and we are all connected to every other human being on earth. So do you see how this prayer gets bigger and bigger? It takes us beyond ourselves and our own little perspective on the world. One commentator writes about this prayer. In this passage in Ephesians, Paul encourages the reader to begin to fathom the reality that something larger than meets the eye is unfolding. This passage is an awesome description of God's grand design. It places all of the issues of church and society not within an earthly context, but within a divine context. Moreover, this prayer in Ephesians sets all the puny concerns of human beings in the light of God's redemptive plan and inclusive intention to reconcile all created order. When the inner mind and heart are so opened, the perspective of the believer is enlarged, and one can be caught up in and catch a vision of the grand unfolding of God's Spirit throughout all of creation. Hence, the believer stands before the Almighty in awe, not in fear, in praise, not in complaint, in wonder, not in cynicism, in faith, not in futility. Paul's prayer is an invitation to all of us, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, to pause and place ourselves into the bigger picture of God's infinite, saving, healing, liberating love. Pause and pray, and then see how that changes your perspective on where you are or what your purpose is in this present moment. Archbishop Desmond Tutu is truly one of the spiritual giants of our time. He was the first black man appointed to positions of leadership in the Anglican Church in South Africa, as well as the General Secretary of the South African Council of Churches. Throughout the 70s and 80s, he was one of the most prominent and eloquent voices in the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa and all around the world. In 1984, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to end racial and economic discrimination and to work for human dignity and peace for all people. After apartheid was abolished, Nelson Mandela appointed Tutu to head the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was tasked with helping South Africa deal with the painful consequences and legacy, not just of apartheid, but of the violence and human rights abuses that were perpetrated by both sides in the struggle. Although Bishop Tutu is now retired from public life, at age 86, he continues to work tirelessly for social justice causes around the world, and he keeps writing books like God Has a Dream, and There's No Future Without Forgiveness, and The Book of Joy. We have several of these books in our church library, and I invite you to check them out. We give Tutu's Children of God storybook Bible to every little child we baptize here in this church. In spite of everything Bishop Tutu has experienced in his life, especially the depths of human cruelty, violence, and political oppression, what most people notice about him is his overflowing joy and optimism, his steadfast faith in the good that is possible, and his deep, deep connection to God as the source of all love and life. In many ways, Bishop Tutu is an example of Paul's prayer in human form. And no wonder. Those close to him report that he starts every day praying for several hours early in the morning. But prayer is not just something he does on his daily checkoff list. A friend of Bishop Tutu's has described how when he traveled with him, wherever they went, whatever new thing they were doing, Desmond would pause and pray. On this Sunday, in the middle of summer, let's pause and pray. No matter what you're doing or where you're going today, this week, this year, let's pause and pray. Remember that you are a child of God, and that Christ wants to dwell in you each and every day, strengthening you from the inside out and lifting your vision beyond yourself to God's endless horizon. Pause and pray and plug into the love and power of the one who loves each and every one of us more than we can fathom, and who works through us to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. Pause and pray and give God the glory. Amen.